Tēnā koutou katoa. It's really nice to be here today. Going to share you some of our experiences. I'll just get this up. I'm a little bit nervous here, so hot fingers might make this a little bit. There we go. I've left you all the research papers as well for this folder. Before I start, I'd actually like to acknowledge, my first dip into the water really was due to John Hedberg. In 2002, John gave a presentation in the Educat Summer in Waikato, and he was talking about learning design, and his notes have never ever been typed up. They actually sit on my desk on a wall, and I've still got the little bit of blue tack that I pulled it down from in the weekend to bring. And funnily enough, that's actually been something that we refer to a lot. If it's not yours, John, I've been attributing it to you for the last 2 or 3 years. Just to give you a bit of background, my profession is actually teacher, a secondary teacher in a Christchurch mid decile ranking school, so neither sort of top end or lower end, and was there for 18 years. And in the last 5 years, I've now been working in a public library system. And as part of that, I've been manager of the three learning centres that have been attached to public libraries, one at the Waitakere, South and Upper Riccarton areas. Now, I haven't got time to go through what that particular environment is like, but we basically service local schools. So 23 local schools come in and use the services of the learning centre. And my role has been, up until this past year, to manage those particular environments, to work collaboratively with teachers and explore some new innovations using ICT, as well as providing a community resource for community learning and outcomes. A year ago, we were restructured, and as a result of that, I now have a new role, and I am the tumuraki for the Te Ropo Putamu, which is our programs, events, and learning team for all of the libraries. So I run with my team of Māori services, children and young people services, adult services, community services, and staff professional development for all of the libraries network, of which we have 18 libraries and a number of volunteer libraries as well. I'm going to just sort of take you through very briefly a bit of the journey that I've undertaken so far. We had a very visionary digital library services manager who worked with James, worked collaboratively, and came about that we were going to get LAMS in 2004, I think it was. And it was not a tool that we were familiar with at all, but it was the opportunity to have James come over, sort of do a bit of education with us. And I've sort of been a person who's looked at tools and decided, how will I use them with my students? What were the sorts of things that I wanted to achieve with the students, and how could I use the technology to motivate and engage them more fully? So James showed us this, and I was just like, wow, this is it. I got all excited, and my manager said to me at the time, well, you know, don't get too excited, because we don't know whether we're actually going down this pathway or not. But I just loved it, just thought it was really great. And at the same time, Teacher Learning Research Initiative, as part of the Ministry of Education sort of research arm, had an opportunity for a contract to be let. And we decided to use LAMS as part of that environment of learning and have it researched at the same time in terms of what difference was it making for the students. So I will be talking about this particular research in the workshop, but just to say here that these were two low decile schools. The teachers had never used email before. The students had, in one school, 4 computers to a class of 37, and the other school had no computers. The only computer it had was one in the library. So that class was coming into the learning centre to access the technology. The other class on the other side of town was doing it in sort of rotation. As part of the funding, Core Education came in as our research assistant, and of course the resources were provided through SLC, the South Learning Centre. I haven't sort of got a mouse here. Disappeared. Oh, here it goes. One of the things I'd like to say is that very much the opportunity to work with teachers and support them.
Yours is really the action research. You're basically taking what this is what we did, this is what we found out, this is what the kids did, this is what it said. All you have to do. Okay. I like that. Perhaps my job is to do that.
So it's really not so much what they're talking about as the fact that, again, it's the opportunity that was provided to them on a really regular basis. They were meeting fortnightly to do their planning, to learn to use the tool. There was very much the tension between we need to be able to know how to use it before we use it with the kids. We need to make sure that the kids know how to use it before we do an actual unit of work. So there were lots of debriefings, reflection, and pedagogical understanding. And these teachers were all strong in their pedagogy, which made, in fact, the project a lot easier to work with. I won't go through any further, but it was just again to highlight the fact that it was really important for the support of those teachers to have an environment that was safe and secure, allow them to take risks. There were sort of 3 things that were actually quite significant to the success of the project, and interestingly we have applied that same learning for the other projects that we're now working on. And one of them was the fact that we wanted to work with the students on something that would engage them, something that was warm and passionate to them, that would motivate and inspire. We also worked with the local police who are on site in our public library as well. And both those schools have high degree of vandalism. One of the schools in particular had just had a classroom that was ransacked, and although that's not their photo, the police shared with them some of the photos of what vandalism had been like in classrooms. And the photo here with the car is actually a vehicle that was intentionally ran through the glass barriers of our public library, our South Library, only months after it had actually been opened, and ended up going right through, demolishing the computers at the entranceway, and also the took off with all of the beautiful plasma screens from the library, our wealth of computers, and also print material. So these were very emotive instances that we used to work with in the development of our LAM sequences, and I will refer to those in the workshop. One of the tools that we use within LAMs a lot around the sort of idea of the question and answer is to use it from a PMI perspective, using one of those the pluses, the minuses, the interesting points. And so what we did is, because of that tension around, you know, we need to have something that can the students can practice and get familiar with, we decided to have an orientation environment where the students were actually sharing their thoughts about this type of learning before they actually embarked on the learning. So they'd had a bit of an explanation, they'd seen with the data projectors some of the ideas of what they might be doing, had contributed to the vandalism topic about the things that they wanted to do, had brainstormed it, and here was an opportunity for them to get involved now into thinking about what might be the advantages and disadvantages for them in using this particular environment. And you can see the Web 2 emerging technologies here, you know, the My Place, My Space, My Pace philosophy coming through with their comments. So this was 2005, the beginning of 2005. And again, just to give you an example, the students who came into one of our labs at that particular point, it took them 20 minutes to log on because most of it was due to the spelling incorrectly of their school name, which was the password that we used. The teachers' perceptions, again, we did this in that LAM sequence, you know, what were their perceptions about experimentation and risk-taking. Similar sorts of things, but very interesting that that socialisation allowed for people to be quite honest in that environment. Because these two schools that were working collaboratively, they were paired together and were online together synchronously and asynchronously, the students didn't know each other. They'd never met. And the teachers, although they had been meeting regularly and sharing the things that were unique to each school, they were quite honest in their approach as well. So authentic context, opportunity for the students to obviously buy into the content. And here we have a very, very basic forum that was being used. We chose to historically look at Honiheke and the chopping down of the British flagpole. And again, we've sort of got some fairly standard type replies, nothing too much, nothing too elaborate. But we're getting better, and I compare this with the next one, with what we've now got for 2006 on the same topic. So we've used our LAM sequences, modified them, and the content that we're getting from the students is of a higher analytical thinking process, the synthesising analysis. Love the spelling. I just think it's so cool. Comments from the learners themselves, obviously. The interesting thing here was the learners did not see the teachers as having contributed anything to LAMS. When LAMS was operating, it was LAMS. Teachers, who were they? What were they doing? They didn't seem to have any sort of, you know, conceptual understanding that the teachers had actually developed the content. One of the good things that one of our teachers did was still apply strong teaching techniques. So, for instance, when some of those forums were up, she actually had the data projector going, the students were in the room, and rather than try and do the comments on LAMS herself because she wasn't confident in terms of giving them feedback, she'd walk up and down around the room and she'd be looking at the data projector and she'd go, "Kippe, what a really cool answer you've got there," because it was being shown. And then the kids would go tearing back and try and find where was his answer and why did she call his one good? Why was it, you know, why was that was sort of getting some attention? Okay, so what have we done since? That was 2005. What we've done is we've used similar LAMS experiences. We've modified them. And what we've done is we've used, again, collaboratively. We have two or three schools involved. They come together. They're sharing about coaching and what it is to be a coach and a skilled coach and why we need coaches. And what we're doing is training them up to be coaches with our community in our library. And this is just some examples. After they've worked in LAMS and they've developed the code of practice for coaching, they then have the opportunity to put this into practice with their community. Whoops, sorry. This lady's Dutch, she's full-speaking German, she's 85 years, and the children are helping her open up, or establish a email account and open up a email from her daughter, which was actually a birthday card in German, and when she heard it, the tears just flowed, and the kids were just blown away, just couldn't believe it. So again, I won't play it all, but this is the opportunity of where we're going with our rollout. And whoops. Can I get out of there? Sorry. What we've now developed is used a similar sort of thing to what John is talking about. We've been using blogs and wikis. We've now linked our two schools, oh, in fact, three schools, two in Christchurch and two in, four schools, two in Christchurch and two in Wolverhampton in England. And you can actually go to the site. They've downloaded videos, podcasts, all sorts of interactive media, and it's around what it's like to be a youth. So again, this one was not done with LAMS. This one was totally using WordPress and the development of this with the children putting up their information. Interestingly enough, we felt that the sorts of thinking that were coming through here was less depth than what LAMS gave us, so we'd probably look at next year trying to do the two together and working with the sort of the teachers on in England to try and get them up to code with using it as well. So in summary, what's our experiences? Very quickly, we see that the articulation of what we're doing and why we're doing and how we're doing is actually really important. The keeping it simple, manageable, both for the teachers and the children. Online socialisation, I'll talk to a little bit more in my workshop, absolutely important to factor that in and allow for that to happen and not to get worried about that. This whole worry about who's going to read it and whether the school would be held in sort of, you know, disrepute because of messages that weren't appropriate was a real concern for teachers and principals. And also this idea of supporting teachers, it can never be enough from our perspective, and that we need lots of time to develop that relationship building. Our classes usually come together physically at the end, where they come and meet one another, greet one another, and in Wolverhampton's instance, we actually had a video conference at the end. So I'd like to end mine by actually reminding people to have fun. It is new learning, and we're really just at that baby stage of learning how to crawl. These are our experiences, and I know Debbie's going to pick up from some of these as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Pat. That was fantastic. Because of time, we'll keep moving on. But those of you interested in more detail or questions can go to the individual session that Pat's providing a little bit later. Debbie, if I can also...
I'm actually not going to put that up now because I don't need to. It's just to keep me on task. Thanks. Can I just pop it up there, though, that, so I can see it? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Hi, my name's Debbie Evans, and I'm one of the directors at Macquarie ICT Innovation Centre, which is actually not very far from here, just over there, a little bit of a short walk, very close to the staff club. If you're going to dinner tonight there, you'll be going past us. We're a little place that not a lot of people know about, even people that work here at the university. It's a jointly funded and collaborated centre that... was provided by the university, but is actually staffed by both Margaret and myself and a number of teachers from the Department of Education for New South Wales. So it's a joint collaboration, really. The centre's been open since 2002. I was actually deployed to work there for a term in 2003 to... teach students coming into the centre. The centre has historically been a facility that teachers could ring and book to bring their students to the centre for the day and use innovative technologies. It was a little bit like an injection of technology, if you like. It's a lovely place for teachers to bring students. It could be used just in terms of being a facility that just manages ICT for students that could work like that. While I was here in 2003, the director then said to me, Debbie, would you like to come with me to listen to a lecture in the university? And it happened to be James, talking about LAMS version 1. So, boy, didn't that little moment in time turn my directions in a very large way. After working at the centre for a term, I went back to school as an assistant principal and a computer coordinator, and I decided to take LAMS with me. And what I knew about LAMS, a very limited amount of information that I'd tried to extract from James, I asked him to come to the centre and talk to me about it, and I remember him saying to me, can you see its application in primary schools? And of course I said yes, let me play. So I went back to my school and played for 2003 and the best part of 2004. In 2004 I actually had a stage 3 class, so I threw them in the deep end and decided to create LAMS sequences for online homework to see if students could grapple with the idea of going into an online environment to find out what their homework was. It was a kind of a greedy way of not being very keen on carrying homework books every Friday night home in the car and then sitting all weekend marking homework. I thought, wouldn't this be a great way to provide the opportunity for students to be self-paced? I could get online at any time during the week and have a look and see where students were up to. I could mark work as I was going. I could redirect students that might have been going in the wrong direction. For me, it was a wonderful tool, just if I was only going to use it for online homework. But of course, teachers are very creative people, and when I started training other teachers in the school and using it with students, it was amazing to see the wider range of strategies that I could implement using LAMS. I'm just having trouble getting my... There we go. I'm not going to put this up here because I only created it last night at about 11 o'clock when I found out that Pat had created a presentation and I hadn't, and I was just going to be talking. So I'm just going to talk to you. So I'm just going to catch up to where I was at. So one of the first things that I tried, which ended up being very problematic, was to use chat. And I talked to a friend of mine who teaches in another school environment and said, if you can get into your mobile laptops, your wireless laptops out at 12 o'clock on Thursday, I'll be in my lab with my class, we'll get online and we'll start chatting. The reason we decided to do that was because students from our school were going to be going to a high school that was somewhat out of area but was in area for that particular primary school. So my friend and I decided that it would be a good opportunity for her students to meet my students online and find out a little bit about what it's going to be like at that high school, because that primary school was located right next door to that high school. And it only served the purpose of informing about 20 or 30% of the students in my class, but it was a great opportunity for students to start having these synchronous discussions online, just finding out about the technology. I couldn't agree more with Pat when she talked about that online socialising, not just purely to have a conversation, but to find out how the technology works, to play with the technology. I'll give you another little funny story about when I started to build forums in, because that's what I tended to do, was to take one tool and play with it for a while, then add another tool and then a new tool and just see what students could do with it and find out what it was that students could get out of it that I perhaps couldn't see. From my experiences, students are able to spell it out for you, really, about the real power of some of the tools. I created a forum once, and I remember explaining on the interactive whiteboard how they could add their own topics, and it was a forum that I put into their online homework, and I checked that night and there was a new topic called Boys Only. So I opened it up, and of course in there weren't just boys, there were loads and loads of girls were online. Just the fact that they'd called it that introduced and encouraged a whole variety of extra people to get in online. So, of course, by the time I got to work the next morning, the girls were running up to me saying, we've got one called Girls Only too, miss, and all the boys are in there as well. You better get in and have a check. So that's that idea of that socialisation, introducing new tools for them to play with, to get to become familiar with how they work. I also like to integrate a lot of different tools as well as LAMS, and the interactive whiteboard for me has been very powerful in that I've been able to use monitor to show students what I can see as the monitor. Sometimes, you know, that's a very important thing that we do at the beginning when we start using these things, so that we don't end up with a ministerial and a phone call from a mum saying, you know, have you been watching what's being said and blah, blah, blah. I know that, you know, the students that I was working with had already started getting into MSN and texting, and so they were using that kind of type, and so the interactive whiteboard was a fabulous tool for showing them what I found to be appropriate and inappropriate protocol netiquette online. So integrating those two tools for me was interesting. When I started to more formalise and structure the sorts of presentations that I was using LAMS for, I not only had individual logins, but I created group logins as well. In my classroom, I do a lot of group work with reading and maths groups in a primary school. That's what a lot of primary school teachers like to do. And so I actually created logins that were just for the group, so that it was a truly group collaboration when they were working through certain sequences. Yep, okay. 2 minutes. Okay. What are the big picture things? Training staff is, you know, a very, very interesting process. And you'll always find the ones that are going to pick it up quickly and run away and go, yeah, give it to me, I can do this. And I'm working with a few very energetic people that also have very good ability at being critical and analysing what it can do and what else it needs. Especially when you talk to teachers K-2, they'll tell you LAMS is great, but we want sound, we want more visual, we want bigger fonts. And so version 2 has been very helpful, and I've been on to Ernie a lot about the whole idea of audio and moving mouse across. And, you know, I keep hoping it's coming. I know it's coming. Ernie's shown me the sort of prototypes for that. I also utilised it to collect data. So as an administrator at the school, I was involved in collecting data for the annual school report, so I decided to do it all online, and I just randomly selected, I think I had to do 25% of all parents and community members at our school, and I created LAM sequences to collect the data so I didn't have to sit there and sift through it. It had instant representation of our information. Parents were introduced to LAMS that way very quickly. They were very excited. They could understand what was happening with their students. Their students were teaching them how to use it, and so it was very infectious. We have LAMS is highly infectious around Glenorie Public School. Now in my role at the centre, we've actually got a LAMS, dedicated LAMS server, which we use as a sandpit for our teachers. We run in, courses in LAMS and another one called LAMS Plus for, I think, LAMS. If you know how to use LAMS, you always know that you're always learning something new. You'll never learn it all in one day, and you'll need to use it and abuse it before you'll need to learn the next you know, wonderful tool. And as we start to get our head around version 1, version 2 comes out, so then you've got a whole new set of skills. And I'm sure with version 3 there'll be a whole new set of skills that I'll need to learn. So we're always adding on. And that's the wonderful thing about LAMS. It's very powerful, and it can take you in a variety of different places. So we've been running training sessions for teachers. I'm talking about a program called Engaging Pedagogy, a project that I worked with the Centre for Learning Innovation a little bit later, so I'll talk about that in depth later. And just quickly, John mentioned the Nova handheld mobile computers that are also data loggers as well. I'm working with science teachers in high schools and in middle years primary schools out in the field doing real science investigations, but accessing LAMS sequences while they're out there to try and structure some of the processes and learning that they're doing and the investigations that they're covering while they're out in the field. So we're going to be real scientists next year. I think I'll leave it at that. Take it slowly and developmentally. Provide continual training and support. Be positive and encouraging. Share your sequences as much as possible. Pam Kelly is the queen of sharing. If you go onto the Lambs community, you'll know that she's out there all the time throwing her sequences up there. It's a feeling. I know my age group, people are always very, you know, reticent to share. Oh, is it good enough? Is it going to be, you know, people will criticise it. But our students that we work with now, they share everything online all the time. It's just not an issue for them. So I'd encourage you to do that, and I'll leave it at that.
Thank you very much, Debbie. That was fantastic. Again, we will have a question and answer session at the end of today, so you can hold questions either perhaps over coffee or for later on, we'll have more time. That's it for our morning session. After this, we go to parallel sessions, which are in these three rooms and the one downstairs. And the first session starts at 5 to 11, so please don't sort of drag it on to 11 or 5 past, because we need to get to the type program for everyone. And you can switch between streams, by the way, if you do want to move from one to another. That's possible, but for that reason, we ask all the people running the sessions to try and keep the time. So thank you, everyone, and there's morning tea outside. Yes, now. That's the first thing we did, is quickly got that.